Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the Kitab Mu'ashara, Islamic Social Etiquette. Today we will be reading about the etiquette of salam. Adopt the practice of mutual salam whenever meeting a Muslim. Say Assalamu Alaikum. In reply, one should say Wa Alaikum Assalam. If a person adds Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh, there is more reward. When replying, the salam should be made verbally and not by the sign of the hand or a nod of the head. It is compulsory to reply to a salam written in a letter, SMS, email, WhatsApp, etc. The salam may be verbal or in writing. One should not alter or abbreviate the salam. Example, salams OS, just abbreviated by saying writing SLMS, etc. This salam should be written in full. A person engrossed in a conversation or in some work should not be greeted. One should wait until he has completed his work. In a gathering where a talk or discussion is taking place, a person entering should not draw his attention by himself, should not draw attention to himself by making salam. He should lower his gaze and sit down silently. Later, when the opportunity arises, he may make salam. It is makruh, undesirable, to greet a person involved in any religious activity like zikr, tilawah, lectures, dars, etc. or natural activity, example, eating, relieving oneself. Thus, to make salam to a person eating is makruh, while it is not makruh to engage in conversation while sitting or while eating. When answering the call of nature, neither reply to anyone's salam nor offer salam. On promising to convey one's salam, if somebody asks us to make convey a salam on behalf of him, it becomes wajib to do so, otherwise not. It is not permissible to bow and make salam. It is not permissible to bow and make salam. When making salam and meeting elders, adopt a lower voice and do not express yourself in such terms which convey arrogance or disrespect. The last one, when entering the home, it is sunnah to offer salam in such a voice that the occupants of the house can hear you. However, if some people are sleeping, then make salam in such a tone that those who are awake will be able to hear you and those who are asleep will not be inconvenienced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to act upon these etiquettes. Continuing with the ahadith on in Fazail Amal regarding the virtues of the Holy Quran, hadith number 33, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, fasting and the Quran will both speak to Allah ta'ala for the obedient person. Fasting and the Quran will both speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the obedient person. The fast will say, O Allah, I stopped him from eating and drinking during the day. So you accept my begging for him. The Quran says, O Allah, I stopped him from sleeping at night. So you accept my dua for him. Thus the duas of both of them will be accepted. This hadith also tells us that a hafiz should not read the Quran in nafal salah at night. In the Quran itself, in many places, we are encouraged to read the Quran in salah at night. Some ayat are given below. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِرَةً لَكْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. And keep awake for some part of the night for reading it in tahajjud. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. And worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a part of the night and praise Him during the long night. يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. They read the ayat which were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night, and they go into sajda before Him. Thus, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba radiallahu anhum sometimes spent the whole night in reading the Quran. It is reported about Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala that sometimes he read the entire Quran in a single rakat of his witr salah. In the same way, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to read the entire Quran in a single night. Sayyid ibn Jubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu read the entire Quran in 2 rakats inside the Kaaba. Sabit Bunani and Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhuma used to read the entire Quran in one day and night. Some ulama say that the Quran should be completed once every month, though it is better to complete it every week, as was the practice of most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Hadith number 34, Hazrat Sa'id ibn Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other intercessor, someone who will plead on our behalf, will be better than the Quran, neither a prophet nor an angel or anything else. It has been mentioned in many other ahadith that the Quran is such an intercessor whose dua will be accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran intercede or speak for us all, and may He not make it complain about us. Ameen. When a man dies and his family is busy with his funeral, an extremely handsome man stands by his head. When the dead body is covered, the man gets in between the cloth and the chest of the dead person. When the people return home after burial, two angels, Munkar and Nakir, come in the grave and try to separate this handsome man so that they may be able to question the dead person in private. But the handsome man says, he is my friend, I will never leave him alone. If you have to question him, then do your job. I cannot leave him until I get him entrance into Jannah. Thereafter he turns his dead friend and says, I am the Quran, which you used to read, sometimes in a loud voice and sometimes in a soft voice. Do not worry. After the questions of Munkar and Nakir, you will have no worries. When the questioning is over, the handsome man arranges for him from Mala'ul A'la, the angels in the heaven, silk bedding filled with musk. The man arranges for him from Mala'ul A'la, silk bedding filled with musk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this favor to all of us. Ameen. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads the Quran guards the knowledge of prophethood within his chest. Though wahi, revelation, is not sent to him, it is not correct for the one blessed with the Quran that he should be angry with others. He should be angry when others get angry. Nor should he do something of ignorance, something wrong, with those who are ignorant. Nor should he do something of ignorance with those who are ignorant, while the Quran is in his chest. Since wahi, revelation, ended with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more wahi cannot come. But because the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it certainly contains the knowledge of prophethood. If anybody is blessed with this knowledge, it is necessary for him to behave beautifully and to stay away from bad manners. Fudayl ibn Ayaz rahmatullahi alayh said that the hafiz of the Quran carries the flag of Islam. Therefore, it is not correct for him to join those who waste time or are neglectful.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. We were discussing the ayat where Allah Ta'ala says that rozas have been made faraz for you. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. With regard to that, ulama have written that Allah has made rozas faraz on every part of the body. And in essence, roza is just to stay away from permissible things for a certain period. That is all. And when, with the niyat, of course, and when a person has done that, his roza is done. So if we stay away from all permissible things, we have the major things we all know, food, drink, and our wives who are halal for us, But during Roza, they are not halal during that time. So a person will stay away from that. Allah Ta'ala will bless him to stay away from all haram the rest of the year, if we keep our rozas properly. So similarly, if we keep the roza of every part of the body, that is, we stay away from all permissible things during the period of roza, Allah in His kindness and by the barakat of this roza, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that we get taqwa, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will keep us away from haram for the rest of the year also, and consequently for the rest of our lives also. Everyone loves beauty. There is nobody who can say he doesn't love beauty. Allah made it such, everyone loves beauty. And usually we look for beauty in material things, dunya things, that is not haram also, within the limits and in the correct way, these things are permissible. Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, more we should look for beauty in our deen. For example, recitation of the Quran Sharif, we should try and correct and read correctly. Allah loves that, the person who reads beautiful Quran Sharif. So we should make an effort that we read Quran Sharif beautifully, and the rest of deen. With regard to roza also, we should make our rozas beautiful also. In the hadith of Pak, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the beauty of Islam, our Islam, that also must be made beautiful. And what is the beauty of our Islam? That we give up those things which are not necessary. La ya'ni, fuzul, extra things. We give that up, then inshallah our Islam will become beautiful. So that is also in quite a few things, in quite a few areas, that we must see that we give up the unnecessary things, and that will bring beauty into our Islam. One time, Hazrat Ji, Maulana In'amul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he travelled to the Far East. They built a new masjid, and he requested Hazrat to come to the masjid. Hazrat Ji went there, they had a program. When Hazrat Ji spoke, and they informed Hazrat Ji that the carpets, for example, we got them from Belgium, the electrical fittings we got from this country, the taps and that we got from Italy, all the things from where and where in the world. Hazrat took a deep sigh and he said, you got everything of the world in the masjid, but the musallis were around the masjid, you didn't get them in the masjid. And then, so the beauty of the masjid also, one of our elders said, are not all the light fittings, the chandeliers, and all that. And many masjids have got this beautiful writing on the masjids also. So that is not the beauty of a masjid. The beauty of a masjid is its simplicity. Hazrat Maulana Zubair Ali Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, my father-in-law, should say that the beauty of a masjid is the simplicity of the masjid. And the decoration of the masjid, the thing that will make the masjid nicely decorated, are the musallis. How many musallis there are, that is how the masjid is beautified. It is not with the chandeliers and with all those things. It is how many musallis come. And the more simpler the masjid, the more beautiful the masjid is. And that is in everything also. More there is simplicity, that has got beauty in it. And our deen is of simplicity. That we try and do everything in a very simple way. So, as far as talking is concerned, there are many things that we can talk, but in Ramzan, we should try and give up even permissible talk. Only what is absolutely necessary that we should talk. And if we will do that, we will get saved of not only unnecessary talk, but haram things, like backbiting, which is one of the calamities of the tongue. Lying, that is also a big calamity of the tongue. And many other sins, ulama have written how many sins are attributed to the tongue. So if we will try in while we are here, even the 10-day period of i'tikaf, and we stay away from unnecessary talk, or we even stay away from permissible talk, only what is absolutely essential, then inshallah we will be blessed by the barakat of that to stay away from haram talk in the rest of the year, and consequently the rest of our lives. For that we have to see, like for example, now usually we finish off, then it's in the dua time, we all make dua. But when we go down for supper, then we should check ourselves. that how much are we talking, what are we talking, what are we doing. Or for example, another program like after Zohar Namaz program, this time, then how much do we get involved? And in there also, everyone feels what I have to speak is necessary and important, so we speak. Now, two people here, another two there, another four there, it makes a big noise. And in the masjid, silence is a great, great thing in the masjid. Very, very important that we keep quiet and we maintain the sanctity and the adab and the honor of the masjid at all times, especially when we are mu'takifs, and even more. We have come here in order to draw the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But if we don't, if we speak, etc., there are grave warnings, especially if we speak about dunya's things. So we must be careful with regard to that. So with the speaking also we have to be careful. And today we are speaking with our fingers. We are typing all the time, sending messages, etc. That is also speaking. And that also has got an effect on everything. The malaika who abound in the masjid, in great, great numbers they are in the masjid, they get disturbed with all the behavior of us. So we have to be very careful that our speech we must control for the sake of the masjid, for the sake of our i'tikaf, and for the sake of our roza. And if we will practice this to make ibadat, that is one main objective also of i'tikaf, that a person has freed his time and now he can concentrate and make a lot of ibadat. But really, as the ayat says also, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that we acquire taqwa. That is what is the important thing. So we have to try and get that. The whole exercise of fasting, tilawat of Quran Sharif, i'tikaf, Laylatul Qadr, all that is that we can get as much as possible the fear of Allah, that we don't break His laws, we fulfill every command of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. That is the main purpose. So if we will choose the correct channel and the correct line, we will get that inshallah. And we will be surprised how this brings a change into a person's life. So one thing, as far as our talking is concerned, we should try and bring some, not speak even permissible things as far as possible. What is absolutely necessary, there is no problem with that, but all unnecessary things of speech that we can do without. The famous thing is that think before you speak. But most of us, when we speak finish, then we say, now I realize, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have said that. This carries on perhaps till mort also. That we all our whole life, that we make these mistakes. And to speak correctly is also we have to learn. And we have to learn that from our Buzurgani Deen, who will teach us how, from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how speech was, and how to speak, etc. So the choice of words also is important. Many times, because, for example, many accidents take place. One person asked his wife something, is it clear that side? And an ambiguous answer was given. And he understood it differently. And he drove off. And there the next, a terrible accident takes place. A lot of accidents take place because of this. How many arguments take place in the home? Husband said something, wife understood it something else. One time we were in one place, and with the family we were in the bedroom, and they called us for breakfast, they knocked on the door. So I said, come in. So my wife told me that perhaps he understands it, come in. It's coming, and she could understand it, come in. So this is very, very important when we talk also to be clear in our speech. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he should say things, sometimes he repeat it twice, thrice, because the object is to get the message across, and the correct message, what we want to say to get that message across. Sometimes, for example, kitab reading, we read and the people don't understand what we have read. So it must be explained so the people can understand what it is. And that is the object. It's not a matter of just feeling. When we read a kitab also, it's not a matter of just reading it, but we have to comprehend it. We have to understand it. And then, accordingly, then we bring it into our lives. If there isn't in the first place comprehension, then how can we go to the next stage? For example, in the class, the ustad is teaching, and we didn't comprehend the lesson. He has done his duty. He gave his bayah, his sabah. We didn't understand. The work is not done. We have to understand. And here also, we are taking lessons. All the programs which are kept, we try with mashura that how everyone can benefit fully. So therefore, when we speak, we must see that we speak very clearly. And we have to learn that. And the easy way of that is that now during this month of Ramadan, we just try and give up even permissible speech. It is difficult, we are all together, a person makes salam, we reply, and they start next, this, and he just carries on. But how much we can control it, inshallah, by the barakat of this, Allah himself will protect us from all unnecessary talk, and especially all haram things also. And if a person's tongue is saved, then inshallah his whole life will be also saved. The tongue is very, very important. Very small it is, but the effect of it is very big. As ulama have explained, this tongue, Allah Ta'ala did not just allow, like for example, some countries have got bombs which are of mass destruction. But the president of the country, he's only allowed to press the button for it, but he also can't just go anytime, and it's not open for him also. There are so many doors, etc., security, then it will be permitted. So the tongue also, Allah has kept it with great security. First are the 32 teeth that Allah has put in. And these teeth, they are also, and sometimes when we bite our teeth, then the tongue, then we realize how painful it is. So these teeth are in the mouth also to protect the tongue that you don't just speak anything. And wherever there are riots, then the riot police are a separate group of police. They're not the ordinary police. And they come with their weapons also according to the riot situation. So the teeth also Allah has given the front ones which are sharp. Then the canines which are pointed. And then the molars at the back which crush. So it is like Allah Ta'ala has put this to protect the tongue. And then the two jaws are like two army regiments also. So much protection Allah has put that control the tongue. Don't just use it anyhow. You have to think a lot before you use your tongue. So it is very important that, and all this we can make effort from our side. But really, if we keep the roza of the tongue, which is we give up things which are permissible also, then Allah Ta'ala himself will give us the protection. And then that person will speak clearly. And he will get his message across also quite easily. Otherwise, many times we use words and we use phrases and the wrong meaning goes out. In the home, as I said, with husband and wife, a lot of this happens. A person says something, the wife understood it different. She said something, we understood it different. We didn't speak clear. And then a lot of arguments. Even divorces then take place on this. Allah protect us all. So therefore, we are here, we have come for its maqsad and purpose. And by extension, we try and bring simplicity and tarke la ya'ani. All the things which we are not supposed to be doing, engaging in everything else also. In our clothing, see, and then in our dressing, what is necessary, what is unnecessary. What can I do without? How many shoes have I got? Do I need so many shoes? How many dresses have I got? One place we went to for a program, it was a ladies' program, in a country where it's very hot and safe in that country. So the shoes they keep outside of the house, in a shoe rack. When we went there, we got happy that, mashallah, plenty ladies have turned up for the program. Whole shoe rack was full. But afterwards we found out that in the program was only the house lady. Those were all her shoes. All those shoes were her shoes, so many shoes. So a person doesn't need so many shoes, etc. So all these things, in our clothing, if we have to look in our houses. One time, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, rahmatullahi alayh, gave a bayan. After the bayan, after Fajr bayan, he should go to his room. One person was, alhamdulillah, encouraged, I must go out in the path of Allah. It is absolutely necessary. So he went and meet Hazrat. He said, but my finances, I haven't got. Hazrat just told him like that, and elders get kashf also. He says, your dressing, where all ornaments are kept? Okay. The cabinet or like that in the front room usually people have got, and lot of ornaments. Hazrat said, you just sell that out, that is more than enough for your three children. Just that, all unnecessary things which are there, the ulama have written all the categories of what is permissible, not permissible, etc. But if you just sell that, and you it won't harm you in any way whatsoever, there will be nothing less in your life. And that will be sufficient. Also, I remember in this connection, when we were studying in Darul Uloom Deoband, on one occasion, it was a public holiday or something, and the students had arranged for buses to go and see the Taj Mahal. And we also were interested. So we also had paid up, and we also wanted to go. And again, we did the things the wrong way. After we paid, we went and asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, because we were in contact with Mufti Sahib, he should do our tarbiyah, that we went, after we paid, we went and asked Mufti Sahib. So Mufti Sahib gave one simple answer. He said, till today, I haven't seen the Taj Mahal. And from that, I don't feel any deficiency in my iman. So we went, I don't know if we got our money back or what, but alhamdulillah, we didn't go after that. So this is the thing. Now all these things also, all the extra things, to go touring like this, to go and see Taj Mahal, is it really necessary, not necessary? Everything a person must see, what can I do without? In our whole life. And here, while we are in Dakar, if we take our time to think of these things here, my whole life, what can I make muraqabah, instead of talking, etc., think of these things, what can I make less? And Allah's system is that as much think in the direction that we go, Allah make it easy. Many times we feel that others won't, the family won't agree. If the husband, we thinking of it here, the wife will say, no, we can't do this. Or every friends won't allow it. We are having a wedding in the family, we want to have it just according to sunnah. No, the family won't allow it. The friends won't allow it. So think how we can do, Allah opens the way. We take the steps, how much we can do, the balance Allah Ta'ala does. The famous story of Yusuf alayhi salam, how much he could do, he did, ran till the door. Further, Allah opened the doors for him. So how much we can do and what is in our control we do, Allah Ta'ala will open the doors in front. So inshallah, this is a very vast subject also. So all of us, let us think about it and for ourselves, where can I give up all the unnecessary things in my life? Whether it is talking, whether it is traveling, whether it is clothes, whether it is food. How many times we sit and we eat, and there are so many chutneys and so many achars, and we don't even touch any of them. So see what is necessary. And then again, how healthy are the chutneys and the achars also? Is it an unnecessary thing, or is it an unhealthy thing? All this we should consider. There are many things in our lives that we have to consider like this, if we can try and bring the simplicity. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali in Fazail Ramadan has written, for the month of Ramadan, iftari, how many things are put under the dasturkhan? And sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomachs. A person is at work and he thinks, today I must have that particular pie or something. The wife has made other things. He phones, he says, today I'm really longing for that. So she makes that also. But when you sit, you just have a little bit and you are full already. So we should try and consider all these things and bring as far as possible. Simplicity is one major aspect of our deen in all round. And if a person brings simplicity, it will be the answer for all what we are being attacked with. What the dunya thinks, temptation, simplicity is the answer to it. And sunnah is the answer to everything. We don't have to make big mashuras and dialogues and discussions. We have to bring sunnahs into our lives. May Allah give us all tawfiq to correct our lives. And here with this roza that we see till now, how much have I brought deen into my life? Ibadat we have made, we make dua, and we all plead by Allah that accept it from us, and inshaAllah, it is accepted. Allah is that Allah is most kind, most merciful. When He gave the tawfiq of all this ibadat, He will inshaAllah, He will accept it. But let us see our change in our life, whether Ramzan brings a change in our lives or not. That is important on the various aspects.